Song, and thank you, Doug, for the reading of a scripture there from Matthew chapter 6. I'd like to encourage everyone to keep an open Bible there to Matthew chapter 6. We'll begin there in just a moment as we prepare to take just a few moments this afternoon to talk about some things you cannot do. You see, there are some today who believe that there is absolutely nothing which they cannot do. I heard someone make that statement just a few days ago. And when I heard him make that statement, it got me to thinking about how there are some things which one cannot do. And about how the all-inspired Word of God speaks of some things that one cannot do. So knowing that, we're going to spend just a few moments this afternoon discussing some things which you cannot do. And I begin with the fact that you cannot serve two masters. Did you notice the reading that Doug so ably just gave for us there from Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 24? Did you notice what Jesus said there? Let's go back there for a moment there to Matthew chapter 6 and in verse number 24. And notice, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. Now watch it. You cannot serve both God and mammon. It's important to note that the word mammon there is a word that means wealth or riches. And to be simply put, what Jesus is saying here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 24 is that no one can serve both God and riches. You see, no person can serve multiple masters. And here Jesus makes the distinction between serving God or serving riches. And he made the point that either you're going to be loyal to the one or despise the other, or you're going to hate the one or love the other. It can't be both. It's going to be one or the other. And we need to understand that one cannot serve two masters. To further this thought, I take us there to Romans chapter 6 and verse number 16 and notice these inspired words of Paul with me. Here Paul asked a question. And that question Paul asked here in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 16 was, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Again, Paul is teaching here that you cannot be a slave of sin and be totally committed to obedience. It's going to be one or the other. And we need to understand that we must be a people who make the decision to be totally committed to God, knowing, as we learn here in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16, that if we choose to be a slave to sin, it is going to lead to what? Death. But if we choose to be a slave to obedience, it will lead to righteousness. But another thing I inform us that you cannot do is you cannot sow to the flesh and reap eternal life. You see, the way one lives their life is a reflection of whether they walk after the flesh or after the Spirit. And we learn here in Romans chapter 8 the need to not be one who walks according to the flesh, but rather to be one who walks according to the Spirit. Notice this with me here in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 5. Here the Apostle Paul writes, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Again, we learn in the text here that walking according to the flesh is enmity with God. To be simply put, it puts you at war with God. It separates you from God, and it will lead to death. Again, spiritual death, eternal separation from God. But on the flip side of that coin, walking according to the Spirit leads to union with God and life. Again, one cannot sow to the flesh and reap eternal life. Paul reminds us of the need not to be deceived about this in Galatians chapter 6. Go with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Galatians chapter 6. And notice this warning from the apostle beginning here in verse number 7. Here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 beginning, Paul says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Here Paul informs us of the law of reaping and of the law of sowing and reaping. And the law of sowing and reaping is set forth here in the text of Galatians chapter 6 verses 7 and 8. And here we learn the fact that what one sows in kind, that he will reap. We understand that, don't we? We understand that. We understand that if we are going to plant tomato seed, what we plan to reap from that plant is tomatoes. Not corn, but tomatoes. We understand that, don't we? And it's the same in regard to those who sow to the flesh. Those who sow to the flesh, guess what? Paul says you're going to reap. You're going to reap a crop of destruction. Because he says, "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption." But on the flip side of that coin, those who sow to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Simply put, you cannot sow to the flesh and reap eternal life. But another thing you cannot do is you cannot have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness and have fellowship with God. You see, God's people are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. For the child of God is to live as children of light and are to walk us in the light as God is light. We learn about this in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. And in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse number 8 beginning, Paul penned, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Now watch it. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Again, God's people are instructed here to walk in the light. They are instructed to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And we go on to learn why this is important there in 1 John chapter 1. And in 1 John chapter 1, in verse number 5 beginning, John writes, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you." What is that, John? Well, notice that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we what? We lie and do not practice the truth. But, John says, verse 7, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Hold on to those inspired words. Understand that God's people are not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But rather, if we are going to have fellowship with God, we are to walk in the light as he is in the light. But another thing you cannot do, and that is you cannot be a friend of the world and also be a friend of God. Did you know that? You see, James reminds us of this there in James chapter 4. And there in James chapter 4, and in verse number 4, James asked a question. And that question James asked here is simply, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? There's that word enmity again. We talked about that a few moments ago, didn't we? Again, that word enmity denotes being at war with. And here James made it very clear that friendship with the world is enmity with God. He goes on to say, whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Simply put, James is informing us of the fact that you can't be both a friend of the world and a friend of God. Can't do it. And you know, worldliness, it is a major source of apostasy. And although some try to be both a friend of the world and a friend of God at the same time, it's not going to be possible to be able to maintain friendship with both the world and God. We need to be aware of that. We need to hold on to this instruction of John found there in 1 John chapter 2. Go with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to 1 John chapter 2. And notice this instruction of John beginning in verse number 15. There John says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Think about that. Again, we can see that you can't love both the world and God. And if you're going to be one who loves the world and be one who yields to the allurements of the world, you're not going to be one who's going to be dedicated to God and His noble cause. We need to be mindful of that. And we need to be aware of attempting to be both a friend of the world and a friend of God, knowing that it cannot be done. But one more thing to share with you this afternoon in regard to some things you cannot do. And that is, you cannot live wrong and die right in the Lord. Did you know not everyone is going to go to heaven? Did you know that? You see, there are some in the world who think that everyone's going to go to heaven. No matter how they live their life, no matter what, they're destined for heaven. But that is completely contrary to the fact of the matter. You see, not everyone is going to go to heaven. And these are not the words of Brad Phillips, but rather these are the words of Jesus Christ. Notice these words with me there in Matthew chapter 7 and in verse number 21 beginning. Here in Matthew chapter 7 beginning in verse number 21. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Jesus said in verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, the determining factor in regard to one someday spending eternity in heaven comes down to one thing. Comes down to consistent obedience to the will of God. We see that right here in Matthew chapter 7 and in verse number 21. When Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But who, Jesus? He who does the will of my Father in heaven. There it is. You see, there are many today who do many things that are contrary to the will of God, our Father. And those who do things that are contrary to the will of God, those who live wrong, will be those who will not die right in the Lord, but rather will be those who will someday have the wrath of God come upon them. We learn about this in Romans chapter 2. Go with me, if you will, there to Romans chapter 2. here in Romans chapter 2 and in verse number 5 beginning. The Apostle Paul says, "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, on the Jew first and also the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God." Let those words sink in. Again, we can see here that you cannot sow to the flesh and reap eternal life, as we talked about earlier. We see here that you cannot have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness and have fellowship with God. We see here that, again, you cannot be a friend of the world and a friend of God. And we see here that you cannot live wrong and die right in the Lord. You see, I've heard it said, and I quote, "There will be no surprise people in heaven, but there will be a lot of surprise people in hell." Amen. End quote. Remember that. You see, we can know that we have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 13. But we know that by being one who does the will of God, our Father in heaven. And anything contrary to that will someday be subject to the wrath of God. Period. So once more, you cannot live wrong and die right in the Lord. Again, there are some things which you cannot do. Therefore, let us all beware of these things which we cannot do. And may we all always choose to abide in the Lord and in His ways, remembering he who does the will of God abides forever. 1 John chapter 2 and in verse number 17. We're about to sing a song, by the way, of invitation titled, "There's a Great Day Coming." And indeed, there is a great day coming when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. And I ask, are you ready for that great day? Are you ready to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the things that you have done? Are you? If not, why not get ready this very hour? For you have heard the word of God. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you can repent of your sins, you can confess Jesus Christ, and you can be baptized this very hour into Christ for the remission of your sins. And you too can be prepared for that great day. And may we all always remember the need to continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Maybe there's one among us this afternoon who has not been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight, narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, asking for His forgiveness. Get back on that straight, narrow path that leads to life. This very hour, we have that opportunity to do so. And if there would be one here this afternoon who would be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song that Max has selected.